This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This is Power Perspective on Power 98.7. Now we are talking. Studio line 0861-987-000. Anytime you want to join in on any of the conversations that we're having, feel free to call in. You can also send a voice note on 083-303-7093. On Twitter, it's PowerFM987. Do not forget the hashtag, it's Power Perspective. If you are listening to us via the DSTV audio channel, it's 889. Online, it's www.powerfm.co.za. East Rand and Ekurhuleni, we are on 107.2. Vereeniging 104.4. Johannesburg South and the West Rand, 103.6. And Pretoria, Johannesburg and Rustenburg, we are on 98.7. Our next conversation is with Tasneem Esop, Society Work and Politics Institute, the University of Witwatersrand, Johannesburg, and active in the C19 People's Coalition. We're talking about COVID-19 in South Africa, and also how popular movements are mobilizing under lockdown. Now, popular organizations and the government both moved rapidly mid-March to respond to the coronavirus pandemic in South Africa. However, the country today has the fifth highest number of COVID-19 cases in the world, over 420,000 and counting. And this was before we reached the 500,000 mark, it was late July. And the virus has continued to spread, posing a threat and a challenge to what is a fragile health system, a fragile economy, and many others. Now, on the other hand, government does play its role, has played its role, whether, you know, adequately or not, depending on which side of the coin you are on. But also social movements, on the other hand, what have they done? Governmental shifts in South Africa seem to have, to a certain extent, taken the opposite trajectory to much of the global pattern, following changes in the former liberation movement, the ANC, and at the end of 2017, this saw, of course, the replacement of Jacob Zuma by Cyril Ramaphosa. Was that something? At that time, there was a lot of expectation, the whole talk about a new dawn, promising to end corruption, restore good governance, and attract massive foreign investment. Has that changed? Many middle income or middle class business and international world welcomed this particular change. But we know that when it comes to his position within the ANC, things have not really been going that way. So to help us look into this and how we have responded, particularly be it from a government perspective or just the popular movements and how to mobilize or how they've been mobilizing under lockdown, is Tasneem Esop, who's a political analyst. Tasneem, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Evening. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for taking this time to speak to us. Now, on face value, and almost 5 months later, how do you sum up the response of the government of South Africa to COVID-19 amidst all the levels that we've been having, the banning, unbanning, the changes here and there, the clarification of this and that? How would you sum up how the government of South Africa has been responding to COVID-19?
Yeah, well, I mean, just 5 months, but it sometimes feels longer than that, and it sometimes feels much shorter. So it's been quite a busy 5 months for most of us, just tracking everything that's been going on. And I think that kind of speaks to how things have changed over the period, you know, from the starting point when we first entered a hard lockdown. Yes, there was always criticism abound, but there was a very large talk, at least in certain spaces, of the hard lockdown being a positive move, a science-driven approach that government is taking, that Ramaphosa is taking, taking the international sort of advice around how to deal with the pandemic seriously. And things started to develop from there, right? And certain aspects of government's response have gone pretty terribly bad. Particularly when you think about the kind of economic interventions that they've tried to make, from the food parcel, efforts that were implemented very inefficiently, to the temporary COVID grant and grant top-ups. Real gaps in the system and inefficiencies in the system that led to grants not being paid, very few people receiving grants in the stipulated time, breakdowns in the bureaucratic machinery. And there are reasons for this that we can, of course, unpack. I think where there were positive developments, or certainly where there was some praise being given to government for their proactive sort of response to the pandemic, I think the activities since then have shown that have shown up those inefficiencies. And then, of course, in the article that we're talking about tonight, we refer a lot to government's inability to really work with communities and popular movements. And I think that has been a real stumbling block in terms of dealing with the pandemic and dealing with stopping, curbing the spread of the virus.
Mm. Now, you spoke, Tasdim, about the influence or alleged influence that the international world has had on the decisions that have been taken by Cyril Ramaphosa, as it were. I mean, looking at that, be it true or not, could we have done it differently, the South African or African way? Would we have had a possibly different and better outcome?
Yeah, so I mean, I think absolutely. Let me just state that I'm a political analyst, not an epidemiologist or medical doctor. Mm. the comments are based on looking at society in a certain way. But of course, there are always different options available to government, and certainly our government had different options available to them at the time when this pandemic came about. We do need to question the kind of strategy that government took in terms of the hard lockdown. Was it the best option for us, despite it being international best practice? We have a very specific socioeconomic situation. We have a very specific healthcare system that's I wouldn't say unique, but that we need to consider the kind of dynamics within our healthcare system, the limits of our healthcare system, and the limits of our economic and socioeconomic situation too. Taking all of that into consideration, you can't just use international best practice and adopt a model wholeheartedly, right? When we're talking about the other options that were available, that's when you bring back, community mobilization, focusing on how popular movements and community organizations can, really assist in this moment. So those are the kind of different options that were available. And I think now we're at a point where we can reflect on, well, maybe not fully, but we can begin to reflect on what has happened, particularly during the hard lockdown.
Was it, I mean, at that point when we had that hard lockdown, although from other political sections, it was not well received. And I think we started hearing more, Tasnim, from political opposition in terms of how the president was, downgrading the levels, as it were. And that's where the problem still started coming in, to say the least. The reduction of levels has been, to a certain extent, quite horrible, in that that's when we started seeing cases rising. That's when we started seeing issues of exposing a lot of things that are not happening or that should not have been happening within the health department and many other things. In terms of, just from a political perspective, was the pressure, political pressure, on the president to do it this way, and looking at how the opposition in South Africa has been responding to the president and how he's been handling this?
Yeah, so I mean, I think certainly some of what we've seen in terms of the alert levels and so on has been haphazard, and it's led to a lot of confusion in the country around changes in regulations and some things that really are difficult to justify publicly, and so left a lot of people questioning. And that also put a lot of question marks around the strategy of lockdown and so on.
Sorry,
are you still there?
Yeah.
To cut out.
Okay, yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, just quickly then, in terms of opposition parties, yeah, I mean, I think opposition parties, part of their work is to kind of show and highlight what the problems are with government approach. But I think that government also came under pressure from nearly every sector imaginable when it came to starting to lift lockdown regulations in certain sectors. And the way they dealt with that pressure is maybe something that we need to look at.
Tasneem?
Yes. Hi.
Okay. Yeah, I think we keep losing each other a little bit there. But then, you know, and as we said, looking at it from a political perspective, in terms of how the influence within the ANC, within the government, has been happening. I mean, we even had yesterday the Minister of COGTA coming out and say, well, there's this perception that I'm running the government, I'm making all these decisions. In terms of just sending the message across, has it been clear as to how the government is handling this and speaking as a collective, as it were?
I mean, again, we went from a point where there were certain ministers put at the forefront of things and in terms of communicating from the government side. And that also changed over time. I should just state that I think a lot of the criticism directed at the COGTA minister has been problematic at times, seems quite sexist and misogynistic. That's not to say that we shouldn't criticize the decisions of government, absolutely, but it's just a caveat around how that criticism has unfolded publicly. I think South Africans definitely want clarity in terms of who's directing the approach right now. And that has perhaps been a bit of a problem. And again, I mean, when you have a situation where the president says one thing and ministers say another, and one minister says one thing and another minister says another, that's going to create a problem in terms of how you're implementing your government strategy and how that is perceived in the public. So certainly that has been one of the issues.
Now, working with communities, and which is what has been quite problematic, just how the strategy of government working with communities and maybe popular organizations, has it been clear, and has that also become a little bit of an issue as to the involvement thereof and how government has just been dealing and allowing communities and popular organizations to be part of this strategies of government?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly there has been no systematic sort of engagement with community and popular organizations. In fact, at some points, the work of these organizations has been actively blocked by government. And that's definitely an issue. If we look at how it wasn't, so from the get-go, it wasn't just government responding to the pandemic. People responded in their communities, organizations responded, organizations that are in you know, different sectors and different communities. And instead of leveraging that that base, that support, that mobilization that's already there, government hasn't really systematically engaged with that, and instead has sort of kept its consensus building kind of talk to high levels, elite levels of elite sectors and elite levels of government. And that's really been a huge missing piece of the puzzle. I mean, if you look at public health strategy and how public health responses need to happen, putting communities at the center of those responses is important. But also, if you just look at how rapidly popular movements and community organizations mobilized right at the start of the lockdown, at the start of this pandemic coming to South Africa, it should hold that you should take that seriously and that's your direct access to people. The government machinery can't access that level of grounded engagement with communities. So, I mean, certainly it shows that there's a real lack of imagination here from the side of government and perhaps from the side of the ANC too, around that kind of engagement with movements, with organizations and communities.
You know, when you look internationally, particularly looking at Donald Trump and how he's been handling the issue of COVID-19, many are saying that, you know, it could be a decider as to whether he gets re-election or not. You know, with that said, can we then start, say, the way Cyril Ramaphosa and those that are aligned with him, will this be a test that will determine going forward whether they will still be able to hold on to power?
Well, I mean, South Africa is, of course, a very different political system to the US. And that means that the kind of direct relationship to the president is different. But I will say that the relationship or the position, rather, of Ramaphosa in the ANC is one that we can consider. And the pandemic, he's still there. Sorry.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah. So the pandemic will certainly have an impact on that. There is economic challenges. There have been challenges around corruption, challenges in how Ramaphosa's government has dealt with the pandemic, and many other layers to this. So it certainly seems like the pandemic will play a central role in how the politics of the ANC continue to play out, or at least give those who are not aligned to Ramaphosa this kind of critiques of his tenure, first tenure as president. So, I mean, I think all of that will play a role, but of course, it doesn't stem from the pandemic, right? These types of battles in the ANC go further back to NASREC and before that. But then, at the NASREC conference, there wasn't a decisive kind of change over in the ANC, and Ramaphosa's position is still precarious in that sense. So the aftermath of the pandemic and now even though we're in it at the moment is important in terms of how Ramaphosa's leadership will be seen and how those battles may play out.
Has this pandemic been used as a political tool? I saw a tweet, a joke of sorts on social media spaces, somebody saying that a patient is asking a doctor as to when do you think this COVID-19 will disappear? And the doctor responded, said, well, I'm just a doctor, I'm not a politician. Would you say that it has become, and not only in South Africa, the world over, has it become a political tool to use to politicians' advantage?
Well, I mean, there's that saying, never waste a good crisis.
Oh, no, of course.
I think we can look at that in one way, which is a positive way, and another, which is to see how people have been playing out politics during this period. I mean, absolutely, nothing is devoid of the political, and certainly a pandemic of this scale, of this kind of that will have this kind of impact on society, will be used politically, that goes without saying.
0861-987-000, that is the number to call. Tweets at PowerFM 987. It's directly at Marara Moabelo in conversation with political analyst Tasneem Essop, and just looking at how the government of South Africa has been handling the issue of COVID-19, but also, the involvement of popular movements in how they've been mobilizing under lockdown. And just on that issue of popular movements, Tasneem, again, with the, we have said that it has not really been clear in terms of strategy as to how government has involved or wants to involve this. Should we not then be at a point where this popular movements act independently, or do they have to get some sort of government involvement of sorts for them to at least have some sort of impact?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they absolutely have acted independently. I mean, from the get-go, when it came to this pandemic, we saw a lot of community organizations and popular movements really start mobilizing around the pandemic and responses to it, right? So both looking at government responses and how to create, better situation out of the pandemic and how government deals with it, but also in communities. We saw communities doing public education around the pandemic. We saw them handing out sanitizer, making sure that people had masks. These are things that we have witnessed in certain communities. Of course, there's specific examples that I'm pointing out. And then also, you know, mobilization in response to what government has been doing. So there's been mobilization around the inefficiencies, you know, in terms of grant payments. There's a Pay the Grants campaign and a number of other campaigns. There's been campaigns around the repression, the police brutality that's come about as a result of, you know, police and security forces activities during the hard lockdown stages. So there have been those independent responses, and I think that's what's important and should be leveraged further. It's not that government should just, you know, confer some kind of legitimacy to these organizations. This is work that has been ongoing.
Mm. Tasneem, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for making time to speak to us. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
That's Tasneem Esop, a political analyst.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.